Yo! Hello, everyone. Welcome to Absolute Cuts.
And happy St. George's Day.
That was yesterday.
Was it?
Yeah, it was yesterday, St. George's Day.
That's not really a
although
thing,
although, when this came out, it was 2 days ago, so...
What's Scotland's Day?
St. Andrew's.
When's that?
God, this is good. Yeah, 25th of November.
See, that's like... I've never even heard of St. Andrew's. You don't really do that, obviously.
We kind of celebrate it a wee bit. Burns Night's more of a... thing for us. But yeah, I mean, it's not like St. Paddy's Day is the kind of, that's the main patron saint. But you get all those, the thing that I always like, because I know largely fuck all about St. Andrew. I know he was also the patron saint of Greece. I make that joke every single
right,
year.
Okay, right.
But he didn't do anything specifically cool. Like, I know.
Yeah.
What was it that... St. Patrick drove all the Jews out of Ireland.
Jews.
Is that what he did, yeah?
All the pagans.
All the Jews. He was snakes.
Yeah, yeah, that's what they were.
So, like, the Pied Piper.
So they were, but yeah, well, that's what everyone thought it was snakes, but they meant, like, pagans, because that's the symbol. Is
it's not actual specific snakes.
Nah, so it was a symbol, really. It was just, because it was, like, a symbol symbolized pagans. He was a Catholic fucking missionary, and he just... booted all the pagans
out. I thought he was a... You know how... was it the Pied Piper that did the rats?
Yeah, yeah. You thought he was a snake charmer.
I thought he was a snake charmer. I generally thought he had a wee tooty whistle.
Cut was
and
from
all
Wales.
The snakes... He was Welsh.
Yeah.
See, this is what happens. I don't know where St. I'm assuming St. Andrew isn't Scottish, but...
People are like, he's Irish. And they go, he was literally a Catholic missionary to come in to make Irish. Obviously, he wasn't Irish.
Aye.
And I was like, oh...
Because I remember I did a routine... I tried a routine years ago around about St. Patrick's weekend where I tried to argue that that day everyone was having a great time, but that was 9/11 for snakes. So there was snakes having like remembrance documentaries and like they all go at a statue of a sheikh.
He's there, Churchill.
Remember the fallen. Like the snakes just cutting about, we never forget, written up.
They're Bin Laden.
But the good thing, in St. George every day, because there's always these wank stains that, because we never, I mean, Scottish people play up. Like, we'll go dressed in kilts and Braveheart shit to football.
Yeah, yeah.
And stuff like that. But
weddings.
And weddings, yeah. But I think that is far more acceptable than... the English people that on St. George's Day dress up as Knights of the Round Table.
What the fuck is that about? It's so pathetic. I know we're... I think, like, we're very extremely biased here, right? But, like...
It's so funny.
But what's that for?
I have no idea.
It's, do you know what it is? It's
a sad concept taking the day off work.
Do you know what it is? It's genuinely a country that doesn't really have anything. So they've stolen everything.
Yeah.
Like, their whole culture's thing. And then when they come to it, they go, what's ours? Pastry.
Yeah, it's fucking
pasties.
Pasties, yeah.
That's why they go, oh, what British culture? And they go, yeah. Oh, cues.
Yeah.
Like, fuck all.
Yeah. each county needs a thing. Right. Cornwall, you can have cream. You can cream, right? Pasties. No, you want pasties as well. Right. Right. So one of you can have scones. Right.
And you know, you get all them small English towns, that have like their own little tradition. They're like, we chase a wheel of cheese down a field.
Yeah.
It's just like, what?
There's that mental one, you know, Josh Pugh.
Yeah.
He started, I think the village he's in is one of those kind of middle England, like not middle England, but that kind of, what is it called? The Midlands. The Midlands. He started like their village's tradition where he just launches a big ball out of a flat window, and then every man in the town kicks the living shit out of each other to try and grab this massive ball.
Is it'd be so fucked if it was a medicine ball he took out?
He just backs a crane in. Dropped the funny thing I always find about on St. George's Day is when people inevitably put up like the memes and stuff over the fact that the cunt had so little to do with England. It was insane. Like, he was Palestinian.
What was it?
St. George was Palestinian.
Fuck, he would hate
and
the
then
English
they go,
right
they go, he never fucking did this. The dragon was a load of shite. Like, the dragon was symbolic. He never actually slayed a dragon. It's so funny, man.
But that's hilarious. He's Palestinian because he would just turn up now and be like, "What have you done?"
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You'd be ashamed. Yeah.
they have the same day as Shakespeare's birthday and death. Did you know this?
Shakespeare was born on his birthday. Is that what you're saying?
What date was it yesterday? So yesterday it was the 23rd of April. So I'm assuming that's St. George's Day.
Yeah.
Shakespeare was born and died on the same day, which that's is odd. Pretty impressive considering he wrote all those things.
You can fuck off. Oh, there we go.
That is true. Like, why don't they celebrate that? That's quite a cool fucking thing.
It is.
But like, most famous playwright in the world, and be born and die in exactly the same day is pretty fucking awesome.
Yes.
So why not have a Shakespeare day rather than pretending to have this Saint George
yeah.
who has nothing to do with England whatsoever?
Yeah.
Because dragons aren't even English. That's a Welsh thing.
Yeah.
And you can claim the dragon.
Yeah. Oh, it's a bit to go, not even real, but we do leprechauns and stuff.
Yeah.
So, well.
Do you have a national dress? Like wee hats and...
Just balaclava.
A fishing rod. bring your own toadstool. Oh, hello! Wait,
fuck off. Wait, balaclava is the only thing I can say. Like, really does pass down through the whatever.
I need to...
I used to know a guy that had a he had a hat, you know? He was from fucking Belfast. He was funny cunt. But he had like a black hat. It looked like one of those little hats you're literally talking about, whatever. Yeah. And he used to always be always ready, and he'd go...
Nice.
It was a balaclava. But the rest of the time,
it just looked like one of those hats that tradesmen wear.
Yes. But whatever way he could pull it, he could get the eyes perfect. Nice. Mongo. He was practicing.
That is.
Like one of those dudes that flick. That was his, I flicked the cigarette up and catch it.
The balaclava, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think I've probably worn a balaclava for a bit of a goof, like a laugh.
Aye.
But I've never worn one. But it seems to me, like, because they're ski masks, that was the initial use of the balaclava.
I think for skiers, people in winters looked at balaclavas and went, we should do that. I think it was the other way around.
Nah, because I knew them as ski masks before I knew them as balaclavas.
So because
Bond films, they would wear them as ski masks, right?
Okay.
So But then when did the IRA adopt the balaclava as its headwear of choice?
Definitely in the early 70s.
I was going to say, because this isn't like the initial Irish Republican Army. They weren't cutting about in fucking balaclavas.
What were they hiding from?
But they have hijacked it, because it does seem like quite a sensible headwear for a
hijacking.
For a strong wind.
All right. I thought you were like for...
Oh, no, for hijacking, it's ideal.
Yeah, I thought you were the strong one. Yeah.
It's literally the best.
I know that man's lips.
Like, fuck that. You know, like, rioters and stuff go about now with just, like, a big hoodie on and then a thing that comes up like that. Like you would wear at COVID.
Okay,
They basically wear the COVID mask.
Oh, the snood.
The snood,
Samir Nasri.
That's the boy. The snood.
He played in one once in the Premiership. Made me sick.
Ah, did he?
Yeah.
I had a snood. I got a snood in Primark for like £1 once because I hated the COVID masks and I realised that a snood would work, but it was like a kind of stretchy fabric one.
Okay, so like for running.
So you keep it around your neck, so it keeps your neck warm the whole time anyway. And then when you enter a shop or you want to get close to an elderly person, you just fucking whap it up. And what I use it for now is I keep it by my bed and I use it as a... like a headband that covers my eyes.
No, you don't actually.
I do. I use it as like an eye mask.
Yeah, that's not an eye mask. That's a face mask. Yeah. How big is the thing?
No, but I do is I fold it over like 4 times so that it's really thick as fuck.
Is it not really
thick? It covers
tight?
My eyes.
Do you not wake up and look in the mirror and the whole top of your head's purple? You look like a cock.
I look like that cunt Megamind. Yeah. All the blood's rushed to my brain.
Yeah. Mark, did you do 5 folds? Did you do 5 folds? It's too tight.
But I tell you what it does do, right? Because my room's pretty dark anyway, because like our bedroom backs onto the like the back garden, so there's no street lights or anything. So I don't need it to mask out the light. But what it does do, I have far, far more intense dreams have that on. I thought it was because
you're providing a screen.
I thought it was because of that. I thought it was because
so ridiculous,
I was making
also,
it
I was
so dark
yeah.
that I was in a deeper sleep. But now you have introduced the possibility that I'm starving my brain of oxygen by having it so tight. And that's why I'm having more vivid dreams, because I'm essentially destroying my synapses.
Yeah, it's so funny. If you go and get an x-ray, you know, sometimes they realize you've done like bad damage. They're like, your skull's slowly crushing. And, like, it's sinking in here. It's on the point of snapping. You know, like, you see those, like, I think we even talked about it once before, one of the early episodes.
My face ends up looking like a monkey nut shell. Just this big ridge in the middle. Like that.
It'd be great if it just started, like, creasing like a ball bag as well at the top. Wasn't there, like, a gamer who was wearing the headsets too long? He's got a ridge.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That happens to, you notice how many golfers are bald?
Mm-hmm.
Like, young guys. I remember, like, was it Matt Fitzpatrick or something? Someone like that, but I can't remember the guy's name. But, I mean, the dude was, like, 24. And when he's cutting about the golf course, he looks like a 24-year-old guy playing golf. And then he takes off his fucking cap and he looks like fucking Al Bundy. He's like bald as shit. And I think it is that wearing a baseball cap.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they wear them
all day.
I mean, they won't just wear them for tournaments. They'll wear them practicing throughout the week as well. So if you're getting that much rub.
Yeah, yeah.
On your follicles.
Jigger, but you know, I always wanted to have one of those little sun visor ones with the...
Oh, yeah.
You know, the little... I always wanted them. Or a helicopter hat, one of the two. The one with a propeller. It's not a helicopter hat.
You know what you should do? Like, see how sometimes there's...
Sorry.
Which we need to do. We need to get involved in that golfing, the comedian's golf.
I've already tried fucking star comedians.
Oh no, we're going to talk about that in a minute. The comedians, so some comedians have golf every year.
Yeah.
Andrew Ryan's asked me, and I'm too shite to turn up because I think some of them are really, really good.
I would say.
And there's some wankers play as well.
Yeah.
But if we do get into it, if they're cutting about with baseball caps and some people have visors, if we both played in balaclavas,
oh god,
that'd be fucking amazing, because it wouldn't make no difference. It's to keep the sun out of your eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that. This is what I wear playing golf.
We're a team. Alternate strokes. But you can just play as yourself. Nope.
Before we talk about your football things, I have to apologize to everyone because I've had about 5 messages complaining about me eating those mini eggs last week.
Chomping on the mini
eggs. And then I was like, I don't know what they're talking about. And then I went back and listened and I was like, that is pretty fucking ridiculous. They were too crunchy. So this week I've brought chorizo and chili cheddar rollitos.
So I buy these every single week.
These are fucking amazing.
I buy
Draw
them.
One.
Do you know why?
I've been in the car, so they're kind of sweated.
No, Jesus.
You know when meat sweats?
They're unbelievable. Do you know what I found about them too? Like, you open the packet though, they're gone.
Mm.
All it's done. It's fucking wasted.
I bought those at Heart Hill.
Aye, yeah.
I've got one left.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're not.
So I'm going to finish that. I'm going to try and make this a feature. What's Nelson eating?
Everyone's just like, stop eating during the podcast. you're so busy, you have to use the podcast as your dinner time.
Aye, so you've been trying to organise it. Sorry, that this is generally the last one.
Fucking ridiculous. Yes, I'm trying to.
Time. You've been trying to organise it.
Don't. That makes me fucking cringe.
Right, so you've been trying to organise football.
Yeah.
Which is very funny.
It was to you because you jumped in.
Hijacked it.
Mark Nelson's added to the group. Oh, okay. He doesn't even live in the city.
No.
It's not going to happen. He's not going to turn up. He's here for one reason.
I think it's so funny when people try and set up football groups.
Oh, it's so... Do you know what the worst thing is too? Like, I knew... And I was like, you know, you have to sit yourself down for this. I go, right. It's impossible to start football in Edinburgh. Too many artsy wanks. This would be not a problem in Glasgow. Right?
Yeah.
So I was sitting there going like, trying to get like poets out of their fucking, you know, put down the quill, mate. We're game of football's happening, right?
Yeah.
And even so, just some of the, I knew that it would get a load of fucking, especially from you cunts. I was like, this will happen. You're just going to have to just ride with it and take the punches as they come.
The best bit.
It's funny, I'm talking about setting up a football group. Like, I'm talking about joining the IDF.
I know, because I assume it must piss people off, like with me coming in just to take the piss. There will be people, and quite rightly so, sitting there going, this guy's a fucking wanker. And I am. And that's the only reason I did it, right? But I love wee groups like that. Whenever a new WhatsApp group, sometimes like WhatsApp group will get, like if there's a load of people who want to start a new material, right, if it's all pals, they know the drill, right? Or if there's other people that aren't quite as pally brought in, some people always try to use it as a wee laugh.
They always try and do a bit
of banter. Fuck off with your banter. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Take that back to your own groups. But there was a woman in this that thought you were genuinely setting up 5 minute.
That was great. There was someone as well going like, well, my husband, you know, I'll just join here on behalf of my husband. I was like, what are you doing? Right. Yeah, someone was like, yeah, pretty good. Somebody kept messaging me about if you need a clown.
Yes.
What is it? They were like, you know, if you need a clown, you need someone to clown, you cheer up. And I go, I don't need mascots. He goes, nah, nothing to do, man. And I was like, no.
Plenty of clowns in Scottish football. No, call them referees. No. Right, bro, yeah, fucking.
I do enjoy because the refereeing standard is all over the shop in the British Isles, as they say.
It's
right?
The first.
But I do love when I see Scotland's ones sometimes on Twitter going like, what's happened?
Yeah.
They're like, well, this is the 17th out of 17 penalties Rangers have got. Every time it's like.
The best one was, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, where a Hibernian player took a free kick and managed to knock out two of his own players.
Yeah.
So he rattled it so hard off one guy's head, it ricocheted off his head into another Hibs player's head and knocked him down as well.
And then the ball travelled back through the air and hit the guy they first hit, who was
already didn't.
Nobody notices.
It did the triangle.
So somebody messaged going like, the best thing about this is when you watch the very last second and notices what's happened. So he hits the ball, hits the guy's head, bounces back, hits the other player's head, flies in the air, and you think the video's in, but if you watch slowly, the ball just flies in the air and goes back and hits the guy that it hit first. He drops, he hits the floor, hits that guy's head, and the ball comes up and falls and just lands back on the guy that he's landing the hook. Oh. So it's actually even better.
It's like a Three Stooges
sketch. You would never be able to do it if you tried.
That's awesome. When's the first game? The first football meet?
Tomorrow night?
Thursday?
Yeah.
That's a terrible night for comedians.
No, it's
not. A lot
not.
Of people work Thursdays.
Not anymore.
Best of Fringe.
Best of Fringes. I did set up the time. I was like, I thought Thursday was the best day, to be honest, because most people can't be arsed with Monday and Tuesdays. They're busy. Like, people can tend to be busy in some sort of
way. I'd have said Wednesday.
Wednesday is when Champions League and some also new material night. So I was like, all right. And I reckon I put in like all them little polls. Then I was like, I thought 7 o'clock would have been good because you'd be finished at 8 and then you could possibly go if you're doing a gig in But there, it seems to, 8 o'clock seems to have won it. So I was like, whatever.
Unfortunately, looking at a lot of the people in the group, they will need to be at the gig for 8 o'clock to sign up in the hope of getting a slot. What a wank. I'm becoming more of a wanker every week in this podcast.
You just keep added Mark John. It goes, added Mark John Nelson. And that's your private account?
I was laughing to myself for a while because you'd put up, right, we play at Sight Hill, we play at the Corn Exchange, and then I put, and you could add another option. So I just put Glasgow.
That was very funny. Like Michael Welsh was like, Portobello. And I was like, in my head, I was like, I didn't put Portobello for a reason. I'm not going to Portobello.
Easier to get to Glasgow than fucking Portobello.
I was like, but what's happening is clearly a lot of them are from Leith. Isn't that easy?
That is easier for
I reckon what's happened there is loads of them were like, yeah, Portobello. And I went, oh, no.
Yeah.
I didn't put that in there because I'm not going.
There was no need for the poll. It was very much a performative thing. This is where I'm playing. Either get on board or you don't play.
Honestly, if Portobello won, I would have been like,
I could have had an option of my back garden, it would have been in there, but I don't have pitches.
Nelson Wall was like, I'm not going to fucking Portobello.
I very quickly tell you before, so the reason I stopped for the Relitos, I tried to buy WWE tickets this morning.
Okay.
WWE are doing a pay-per-view in Glasgow.
Holy fuck. So
they did it 2 years ago in Cardiff, right? They did it at the Millennium Stadium, right? And this year they're doing it at the Hydro.
Okay.
Now, this is, I'm fucking raging. I'm raging at the amount of things. I was talking to my brother about this the other day. How much tickets cost for shit now? There's nothing I buy tickets for now that I don't go, what? How much?
Right. I have to guess wrestling.
Because I'm still at the stage of you pay 35 to 40 quid to see a band.
You should
Those
be.
Days are done. Even shite bands. Even lower. My brother was telling me he was going to go and see Keane.
This is why you got to stick to the old. Because I still go to random little punk gigs.
Aye, see, they'll be, aye.
They're like 12 still. That's I saw fine. Enola Gay for 15 quid. And I was
see,
like,
that's
yeah.
good. That's great. But any decent band.
Yeah, yeah, not anybody that's on the radio.
So how much do you think the cheapest WWE... So they're doing, they're doing SmackDown on the Friday night.
Yeah.
And then it's called Clash at the Castle, which doesn't make any fucking sense because we don't have a castle in Glasgow. That's the whole reason why Cardiff has a castle. Yeah. And it wasn't at the castle. It was at the fucking stadium. So just do it WWE Clash on tour or some shit like
Clash
that.
Clash at
right?
Queen Street Station.
Right, yeah. So, so Millennium, I reckon... Because you're using the pitch as well, so people are standing and all the seats, I reckon around about 100,000, 90 to 100,000 capacity.
Okay.
The Hydro, 12,000, right? So why they've not used, I don't know if Hampden was busy, was getting used. Mm,
yeah.
I don't know whether, like Celtic Park, Ibrox, you could have used any of them, right? That so they're all already the tickets are going to be more expensive because there's less seats. They've also done it where the pre-sale tickets I went on to this morning, because I've got various, I managed to get a pre-sale code from my pal Natalie, right? And I went on there. So you've got to buy, so they're doing SmackDown on the Friday night and Clash at the Castle, the pay-per-view on the Saturday. Friday, SmackDown, Saturday. And then, so you've got to buy a ticket for both. You can't split them. And then if you buy a ticket for both, but you can't go to one of them, you can't sell the other one because it's attached to that ticket. So you either take both or you don't get both, right? The Friday, it's the same night Scotland played Germany in the opening of the Euros. So who the fuck is going to that, right? How much do you think? Cheapest tickets, right? This is right up in the top of the Hydro, proper...
60.
60. £198.
That's fuck off, man. It's like Springsteen. 100
from Ticketmaster. This isn't touts. This is Ticketmaster with their fucking surge pricing.
They are fucking touts.
198 quid. How much do you think for ringside? Ringside
That's
seats.
That's insane. I would have said 190. I would have said like 150 quid.
£3,196 to sit at the side.
That's... Like what? But who's buying that? That's just that's not even going to be fans because that's
you can't, who the fuck
that's
going to
be
that?
Rich people
yeah,
just
exactly
fucking people it's that have
proper,
no care.
It's proper.
That budget is Ticketmaster a joke at this type
Piss
of stuff.
Me off. That surge pricing they do it like airlines.
Do you remember that shit?
Yeah.
Well, it's like oh, we will tout instead of other people, go, but you're still touting.
I wanted to give a shout to someone because I put this up and I was like they're taking the fucking piss at this, and then somebody copied me in. In a tweet, a guy, Evan McFarlane. I've seen a couple of his tweets. So he's on Twitter, at Evan McFarlane, right? And I retweeted it. He was like, they could have Chris Benoit and Princess Diana on the bill, and I couldn't justify £400 for paying Clash at the Castle. What a match that would be.
Clash at the Castle. Yeah,
oh my God, that's Diana's music.
A crumpled car coming around the corner.
Candle in the wind. <Du-du-du-du>. And it seems to me she's just coming down.
Steering wheel around her neck.
Coming to the ring, accompanied by Booker T.
Oh, fuck's sake.
England's Rose, Princess Diana, and then she's got to go in with Benoit. As if the woman hasn't suffered enough.
A man that killed its whole family and someone whose family killed her. Live!
Just people running in. Oh my God, that's the Queen's music!
Oh,
fucking funny.
Two beef eaters bringing her in.
Right, this week's film is your choice, so you can introduce.
I'm just making sure that's going. I have chosen, this one again was a childhood one. I remember I had a Independence Day, my older big tape was, I had a couple of tapes, but my two action ones were Independence Day, and I had this week's Air Force One. Harrison yeah. Ford, the first Harrison Ford one, which I thought would have been you.
Is this the first Harrison Ford
I think
Ford
so.
We've done? Jesus.
I can't think of any others.
No, that's a surprise.
It is, because usually it would definitely be you, and it definitely probably would. Well, I know you would have liked this film. I think
I love this film.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so entertaining. Yeah. There's a lot of shite in it.
It's some apps.
It's way too long.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's no need for a lot of this stuff.
Sure, there's like an hour, it's like 2 hours long, and about an hour and 10 minutes is when it kind of like, you know, kind of kicks off. But then when it happens, you're like, you could have just made this a 90-minute film.
Oldman dies, and there's still 45 minutes of the film left. And you're like, how can you kill the main villain and still have almost half the film left?
This is Gary Goldman in his villa era.
Yes.
Villain era. Villa yeah. era.
When he,
villain
had a, era. When he had the goatee.
Yeah, yeah,
the,
yeah.
And just yelled a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Leon the Professional.
Yeah.
He's
a fucking psychopath.
I prefer him at this though than when he was great at that. He's a good bad guy.
He is a good bad guy.
You know, I hate him when he's doing fucking all the serious ones. You know, the award one, because they're always like, you know, he's I'm playing Churchill or something. Yeah. Like, oh, fuck off.
It's mental to think like this film
play a midget again.
Like this film is just an action film.
Yeah,
I mean that there's nothing other than that. It's an action film, and. It's like, I mean, it's basically the same film like that the Gerard Butler White House Down films are.
Just thought they...
But you look at that and you go, right, fucking, right, the main cast in that, Gerard Butler and Aaron Eckhart, right? Whereas you go back to this and you've got, right, we've got Oscar winner Glenn Close.
Yes.
She's in it. Oscar winner Gary Oldman, he's in it. I don't know if Harrison Ford has won an Oscar. He must have been nominated at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe he did for Witness. I think that's the only one. I'll find that out. But that, I mean, the fucking standard, the caliber of for what is essentially just a run-of-the-mill nonsense action
and
film.
And you know every other guy in it too. You know all of the people in it. Plus my favourite guy in the world. Like, I just think, you know William H. Macy?
Oh, yeah,
right?
William
H. Macy... I've been tweeting about this for years, right? He is the quintessential IRA man. if he doesn't speak, you'd be like, that comes from Ballymena.
Yeah, he does. He does look very...
He's been under more cars than in cars. Yeah. That's us. That man's a...
He does look very, very IRA.
He does. Like, if he didn't speak, even the other guy that looks Irish, but not IRA. The dude that takes the bullet.
Oh, man.
We'll get to it all. We'll have to try
I'm just going to find out if
Harrison Ford
if
won
Harrison
an Oscar
Ford
for something.
Won an Oscar.
I say no.
Awards. So he's got a Hollywood Star of Fame, obviously.
Obviously.
Academy Awards wins, no. Nominations, one.
I reckon that was going to happen anyway, because he does either action, fantasy, and adventure films.
He was nominated in Witness for Witness Best Actor, which is a boring as fuck. Have you ever seen Witness?
No.
It's about the Amish. Oh, God. He's like a detective investigating some shit that happens at an Amish place.
Mm.
And he ends up pumping Kelly McGillis from Top Gun, who's also an Amish.
Okay.
Fucking dull.
Amish. Of all things. Watching Harrison Ford. Yeah, he does action films and blockbuster films, so he, you know...
I can't think of any other Harrison Ford... But mind you, The Fugitive, Tommy Lee Jones won an Oscar for The Fugitive.
Yes, okay, well, he should have. Yeah, he was good in it.
But you don't get Oscars for Indiana Jones or Han Solo.
Yeah,
wrongly.
Yeah. I just finished watching The Shield as well just before I turned it on, so I had double Glenn Close out the wazoo.
Oh, aye.
Glenn Close was in a season.
She's also in, you ever seen a TV series called Damages?
No.
Glenn Close plays the head of a lawyer's firm.
Yeah.
And it's when you first start watching, you go, oh, this is just a standard law practice suits. Kind of thing. But fuck, it gets dark. And
it gets really fucking good.
Like, so it gets really good.
And you know what? I've realized there last night that I've watched in a row, right? TV shows, I watched The Righteous Gemstones.
Uh-huh.
10 out of 10. Definitely watch that. Then I moved on to that. Walton Goggins is in that. I've moved on to Fallout. Justified.
Oh, Justified, aye.
And I watched that. It was Walton Goggins. I watched The Shield, and it was Walton Goggins, and now I've started Fallout.
Stay Fallout.
Oh, I've only watched one episode of Fallout with Walton Goggins. I was like, that's. It sounds like an insult, but he's the best TV actor of all time.
Yeah. I don't know if
that's some resume.
I don't know if I watch Fallout because I've not played the game. I've played the mobile game. I've never played it.
I've listened to the soundtracks because
soundtracks.
I used to listen. I never played the games, but I used to listen to it because they used to always have like the ink spots and the Andrew sisters and all.
Yeah, it's incredible. Like.
Yeah, I used to listen to it. Fallout 4, I think, was the soundtrack.
Yeah, is that New Vegas? Is that one?
I don't know. But
what Johnny Cash?
Yeah, a lot of Cash and stuff like that. Good ones too. Yeah. Like I was. Yeah, yeah.
This film, it takes ages. So basically, the story is, I mean, it's a very simple story.
Yes.
Terrorists take over Air Force One.
Yeah.
That's it.
A couple of lads blag their way onto it.
Yeah. Insanely.
There is a lot wrong with this film. Like, I don't think they really cared. It was...
The Russia they present in this is a very cuddly, cuddly Russia. Like, I was comparing it to current Russian-American relations. And I know, right, so this would be 90s, so this would be Yeltsin era of... This would be Clinton, president of America.
Yeah.
Yeltsin as president of Russia.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Is Yeltsin the Gorbachev?
That's Gorbachev. Right. Yeltsin was the drunk. Yes, Yeltsin was the proper alky.
Yeah, I presume they all are alkies, but...
And I know at this point... Russia were a bit less threatening because the Cold War was over.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't think they were as... Like in this, it starts off, Harrison Ford is getting an award.
The
Russians are giving him an award and he's just hanging about Russia. And then he seems to be able to tell the Russian president to do whatever.
Yeah.
Like whatever he commands him to do, he will do.
Because
even at the end when he says... Because this dude is the president of Kazakhstan and he's like the hard ass.
This is General Radek.
General
Radek.
General Radek.
Yeah,
the greatest prime minister of Kazakhstan.
There's no fucking goddamn... Do you know what, as well? It is very unrealistic. It's for terms of American, as you're saying here, politics. Like, for example... Well, Joe Biden, it'd be very funny thinking Joe Biden in the same situation because they'd be like, we're going to have to reach General Radek, and he's probably like chatting about par fours in a golf course. He's completely gone, you know, from it. He's sitting there going like, someday I'll be president. And they're like, you are president. This is Air Force One. He's no idea where he is.
Oh my God, this sure is a nice plane.
Yeah. Somebody then goes to him, somebody before they go, they go, Daddy, why didn't you take me to the refugee camp? And in my head, I was like, because he probably fucking put them there.
I know. American. Biden is in an Air Force One thinking it's a regular plane. I don't want to look, but it's the First Lady over there. It's your wife, Joe.
Joe's in the fucking clue. Kazakhstan. That's a lovely place. Don't they have any burgers?
That's a bad, bizarre bit where she goes, he says he visited the refugee camps.
Yeah.
And she's like, why didn't he take me? And he's like, well, you should just go because it's a fucking refugee camp. You mad bastard. Why? I didn't want to go.
Yeah.
Think I want to see people with their legs hanging off, knowing that I've been responsible for it. I'm not. And then she goes, you have to realize I can take these kind of things. I'm 12, you know. Like, what? 12? And that's the fucking...
Fucking first.
You can't even watch Lethal Weapon 2, you mad bitch.
You can't watch Coyote Ugly. You want to go to
You want to go to the killing field at 12?
Yeah, God. Look, I got that one over there. Point. President. That was me. Communist radicals though managed to blag their way onto a plane.
As journalists.
Yeah.
As journalists.
Why would there be journalists in
this? This is what I don't. The security on Air Force Ones seems lax at best.
Yeah.
Right? Because I know there's like a fingerprint, right? That they managed to somehow get because they're fucking. Because they're Kazakhstan revolutionaries, right? Yeah. They're obviously going to have planned this. Then there's a portable metal detector to make sure they don't have any guns, but they don't need guns because somehow they've got a secret agent, one of the Secret Service, who's with them, who, to get into the armory, just the armory of Air Force One, right, is more than most military stockades.
Yeah.
There is about fucking 300 machine guns in that fucking thing. And all you need to do is open it with a key. Yeah, that's literally it. One swimming guy pool with a key.
Can I just say, the fucking funniest thing I've ever noticed, and the thing I laughed at the most was when he went in to get to the armory. Because what he does is there's a little room with like three guys, and he walks in with some files and he hands them all a file. And yes. Then he just goes, he gives them a file and then shoots them all. I go, why did he give them the file?
The ultimate
deception.
It must be to distract them, because you don't see what's on those files. Like, imagine if you open those files and it was just him with his dick out.
That meme with the black guy with the big dog. What the fuck? Yeah, to hand them a file and then just shoot them.
How ridiculous. When they're searching through the rubble, trying to piece together the crime, all the crime investigators going through Air Force One. We found three pinches of a black guy with a massive cock as well.
It was spattered in blood.
But the eye. What? Wait, because that guy, the only thing
is
I
this
know
a man from the refugee camp?
I only know that guy. He's like the division boss in 24.
Oh, is
he's
it?
A lot of beef with Jack Bauer in 24. What I don't understand about him is it's never explained why he is on the side of the Kazakhstanis. All you needed, you don't need to go into anything like he believes in their cause, or they could have just offered him a shitload of money.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's all. You need to give us some explanation as to why he risks everything.
Yeah, yeah.
It must be a lot of money. So just have that line. Like, what could have made you do this? And then he goes, well, $3 billion is a lot of money, Mr. President. Yeah, yeah, and you go, all right, $3 billion is a lot of money. Yeah. But that's he never explains why he hijacks.
Yeah, yeah.
It also, when all the terrorists are dead. So he's already, he's pledged his allegiance.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, I know where you're going with this. Right? It made no sense.
Then he basically pretends to be a Secret Service agent for the rest of the time.
Yeah.
Whereas at this point, surely you would
join in.
I'm with these lads.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, here's another dude with a gun.
Yeah,
right?
Because
he's got a gun. He is also a trained Secret Service agent. So you'd imagine that they could use that kind of guy. But even when he doesn't do that, all the terrorists, including Gary Oldman, are dead. At this point, no one has broken his cover. There is nothing tracing back to the fact that he has done this. So he could quite easily get away with this. Just keep fucking stum. There's no chance. Probably comes out of this quite the hero, actually, because he says, when he says, you guys better get out of here with the parachutes, he says, no, we're sticking with you, Mr. President. If they land, he's going, this guy, Medal of Honor for this cunt, because he's stuck about this. So no need for that. And then, at the end, he then decides to reveal himself.
Yeah, yeah.
The reason he decides to reveal himself is because they've only got time to dangle one dude from... So they basically bring a bomber in to rescue everyone from Air Force One. So They dangle like a high wire from the two planes and whip them back and forward. They've only got time to do one more.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So obviously Harrison Ford also should have been away the first one. Even his wife should have been going, this is fucking ridiculous. You're the president. You're more important than
we'll all get
any of us here.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So yeah, there's court martials all over the shop after this. You're going first, but he'd like, no, take my daughter, take my wife, take this cunt who's been shot.
Yeah, right? Yeah, he got shot for me. Then he did his job.
We've only got space for one more, right?
Yeah.
And so it's him, it's the guy that's hijacked, Harrison Ford, and William H. Macy, right? Macy's not, he's not even in the equation at this point.
Yeah, that's
even
it.
He's going, well, it's not going to be me. Then this guy goes, no, it's going to be me, right? Now, fair enough, if you go, how does he think he's getting away with that?
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If the bomber's already been told we're only going to get one more, if he rocks up, where the fuck's the president? He said for me to go instead. What?
You'd be so ridiculous. And oh, it's so good. It's such a fucking funny death too.
Oh my god!
So he gets left basically, and the last thing you see is the plane coming down to the ocean, and him on his knees at the open door, going, "No!" It's such, and the funniest CGI on that.
Because we've had some good plane crashes. The flight we did is a great plane crash.
Yeah.
Castaway good is one. A great. This is the worst plane crash.
Yeah, even Final ever Destination.
Yeah. Yes. God, you're the best. This is so bad.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks. Do you know what it reminded me of? The CGI on it looks like Jaws 4.
Okay. But
when it hits the ocean, there's a bit where it looks like a shark roaring out of the fucking. It's so. The CGI in this entire film is so shit.
I fucking thought it was odd because I actually thought that the. Do you remember they blow up the fuel tank? I thought that explosion was pretty good.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
I was like, so when this happened, they went, well, hold on now. I suppose they must have really blown something up.
Yeah,
but
that
I was
pretty
like,
cool.
That was a decent explosion in terms of explosion, but some of the stuff is. Like, yeah, some was funny.
The other. Bit that is incredibly bad CGI.
Yeah,
is when they find out a way to escape the plane, right? So the one of the secretaries goes, "We can send a fax," and he's yeah, like, "No, I've got the phone that's died," and she's like, "No, the faxes use a different modem or a different form of communication. We can send a fax." So they send the fax, and basically the fax is that because it's getting refueled in the air. Then if the refueling plane can tell them to go down to a certain altitude and a certain speed, they've got about 92 fucking parachutes in the back.
Yeah.
Fucking everyone's getting two parachutes. Here's a spare parachute in case this one doesn't work.
Get one for your legs so you can land like you're in a hammock.
They're trying to do this covertly as fuck. They open the parachute door. It immediately comes up on the plane screen. Parachute door open. What the fuck did they think? They thought they could sneak out of a plane midair. So then,
what did they think? They get away? The people would turn up and go, "Where's everyone on the plane?"
But when they all parachute out, that's CGI. The woman who saves them with it. The fax trick. She genuinely looks like she's just been on a skydiving. She's grinning her fucking ass off
into the night sky. And where the fuck? Also, they don't know where they were dropping them.
Exactly. Where do they? They're almost in Kazakhstan. They're not gonna be landing in friendly territory. So she's grinning her fucking ass off, and then lands in some Kazakhstani farmer who blows her away immediately.
Lands in Mogadishu.
Hey, thanks, lady.
all hostages have been torn apart. I can't think of the worst place you'd land.
They're probably over the sea.
Also, yeah, more likely. That's what I thought. But also, you know, it's a wild one. Like, opening fire, they open fire. I know they might have mentioned something about, like, stuff you can't drink, but they open fire the entire time. They even set off explosive in the side of a plane.
Oh, yeah, and nothing happens.
I'm just like, first, like...
Yeah.
Are they trying to say that it's armoured so that it...
But the thing is, it's not armoured because, like, when they think Harrison Ford's hiding in the toilets, that guy just...
Blows.
Shoots the toilet. Which, imagine you were just in there for a shite.
You're hearing the bullets go through
because
the other door.
Nobody goes to the toilet. Nobody goes to the toilet at any point.
I'm in here.
But you would imagine.
I thought it's a knock on the door. The bullets go through the side.
2 6.
Yeah, two minutes.
But the idea, like, you're right. The idea that bullets just ricochet off everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Surely it's hitting something. It's putting out a window. Hitting some electrical circuit board that is required.
I thought, like, if you hit a bullet through, right? That's what you do. You'd shoot, like, a hole, and then a hole would appear, and then, the guy would get his arse sucked up, and his arsehole gets sucked into the thing.
Apparently that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know how Goldfinger dies?
Can't remember.
Where Bond shoots out. He's in Goldfinger's in his private plane, and he's got Bond there. And there's a struggle, and Bond shoots out one of the windows. And Goldfinger, who's a big, massive guy, gets sucked out the window. Like, and apparently it doesn't happen at all. Like, the pressure isn't enough that it would just soak you, regardless of your size.
I'm pretty sure I saw a movie as well where, like, a face-off, he just shoots up in the air, and the air comes out, and the gun comes out of the little guy's hand, sucks up in the eye, some terrible one. You know what I watched the last day before we get back to this? Hard Target.
Oh, yes.
I'll be a great film to do. He fucking
Van Damme.
He fucking roundhouse someone through a window. I was like, excellent.
I know there's a lot of stuff that I was meaning to check whether it is actually true.
Like emergency pod.
Aye, that's one of. But when the press officer welcomes Gary Oldman and his crew, who are the journalists, on at one point she goes. Now, most of this stuff's classified, but what I can tell you is this plane has countermeasures for missiles, it can survive a nuclear blast, and it's bullet resistant. And I'm like, I'm fairly certain that's some of the classified shit. You know what I mean? Like, listen, a lot of this stuff's classified, but I can tell you this. If you want to take over the cockpit, the passcode is.
What? There's an entire armory behind one.
Yeah.
One bike lock.
A non classified thing is, listen, a lot of this stuff's classified, but what I can tell you is we're going to be showing Roadhouse as the in flight film. So,
1.5 hours in, we're going to be getting a meal. That's all you get. Do you know, like, what? The emergency pod was just a weird fucking.
That can't exist.
Yeah, just blow them out the airlock.
It's Star Wars as well. It's the exact same pod that Princess Leia escapes in Star Wars.
Harrison probably had it in his garage.
And he's not even on it. He's not even in the fucking thing.
I'm
going to find out, does Air Force One have an escape pod?
Do you know it was fucked as well? Another thing of completely unnecessary, like giving the files, he also made the pilot pull up and then just shot him as well. Pull up! And then the pilot pulled up and he just goes... Like, what are you doing?
There's no need to shoot the two pilots. He has a pilot.
Yeah.
Why not take the two pilots, put them in the back with the other cunts and go, right, my pilot's taking over now. There's no need to shoot the two. He's a bloodthirsty bastard in this.
Oh, it's good.
A lot of people die.
I love it. Yeah, a lot of people, they get absolutely just fucking riddles, or two people.
Harrison Ford, he must be in the double figures for the amount of people he kills in this film.
They just say he used to be in the army. I love that. Was always the backstory.
He's got Medal of Honor as well. Right. No, not escape. Right. The idea of an escape pod aboard a president's plane became urban legend with the release of the film Air Force One.
Christ.
There is nothing.
I don't know who this director is, by the way, but I know the name.
Wolfgang Peterson.
It was funny as hell.
I don't know. I think he did arty films apart from
this. Oh, did he? Yeah. That's even funny.
Let's find out what this fucker did. This is other film podcasts normally research this shit.
He was born in Kansas in 1962.
Wolfgang Peterson. Wolfgang.
Looks like I'm checking if you're watching the YouTube, but it looks like I'm checking my hair.
I've got another thing that I'm going to...
Oh, God, I have loads of notes still. This is excellent.
Oh, so
have I. Excellent.
Damn it.
You can't find Wolfgang Peterson. I actually don't have any.
Neither do I.
For some reason. We're in a black hole at the moment.
This is a fucking disgrace.
Yeah. We'll fight out Wolfgang.
Yeah, that's at Monkey Barrel. You
wouldn't get... He gives the president's daughter a wee smooch. That was weird.
I thought he kisses her in the head, but I thought he was going to go for a proper tongue.
Yeah. I thought he was going to do it.
It would have been he
would have been like, Christ, this guy is evil. The president's daughter. You're like, Jesus. The was also hilarious. Do you know when the president's getting strangled and the phone's on in his pocket?
Yeah.
To the people in the room, it just sounds like he's taking a shit. Because it just cut to like Glenn Close and a whole table, and they're all listening, and all you hear is, it's like that scene. It's another Austin Powers one, and he hears him taking a shit through the door.
Who does number two work for? Yeah, you tell that turd who's boss.
two fucking goddamn films in a row, we've just mentioned it, Austin Powers.
There's a bit at the start when. Right, the opening scene as well is way too long. That's quite, because it's quite a cool scene. I like I like scenes of Navy SEALs arriving and what? Either capturing someone or killing someone.
Like Bad Boys 2.
Yeah, I like the efficiency of Navy SEALs.
Right, yeah.
Because that's how they do. They capture this Radek dude.
Oh, yes, yeah.
But they come in on... it takes way too long. Like the opening credits is like 5 minutes of just them paragliding.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know this. I found this out that scene is what inspired Hamas for their attack.
Fuck off. They're watching Air Force One.
If you ever look at any Hamas promotional videos, there's always an Air Force One poster in the background.
We love Gary Oldman. No, it's not even Gary Oldman. It would be the...
Oh, God.
Do you know what I remembered most from when I was a kid? I remember thinking that the second execution was brutal. You know the girl that he had on the...
The media person, yeah.
Yeah. I remember that when I was a kid because I remember her and I was like, I remember she gets fucking done in for... Like, that was a brutal execution. That was...
Aye, because it's right in front... Because it's right in front of the first lady and the kid.
So he gives a wee smooch in the...
The kid's called the first daughter.
I think I've written a note about this, you know, I'm the first lady, because they say something like, I don't know, something in it.
Because they call them the first family.
That's what it is, yeah. First son. If you have two sons, would you both be the first son?
This is another thing. Fucking, why is the fuck do we not have any signal today? We have so many questions.
Oh, Biden has Hunter, doesn't he?
Hunter Biden.
Hunter Biden.
Hunter Biden, that dirty dog.
Yeah, fucking that. That's so funny. That's more like a Trump kid, you'd think.
Yeah.
Even though his is also meant.
That is a... Hunter Biden is a cool name. Here we go. We've got a signal.
Hunter Biden is time.
Right.
Is this for Wolfgang?
Oh, fucking... This cunt's done hundreds of stuff.
I know the name, but I just didn't...
Wolfgang Peterson has done Das Boot.
Okay, right.
Das Boot.
Never seen it.
Das Boot, about a submarine.
Okay,
German
right,
submarine.
Yeah, yeah.
He did The Neverending Story... kids film.
Okay.
In the Line of Fire, which is an awesome
film. You
said
he did artsy films.
I know. That's not an artsy film. Wait till you say it gets even worse. Trust me.
I mean, it's real art house, this guy.
You just assume somebody called Wolfgang.
Yeah. He did Under Siege 2.
Is Wolfgang not Mozart? Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart.
Yeah.
Right, so Das Boot, that's quite a decent film.
Yeah,
right?
Well,
Neverending Story is just a kid's film.
Yeah.
Right? In the Line of Fire, really good film. You ever seen that?
No.
Clint Eastwood, he plays an agent.
Maybe, but I don't remember it. Anyway.
That's a Try to Kill the President film as well.
Okay.
Then he did Outbreak, which I love.
All right, I've seen Outbreak, yeah.
And then Air Force
One.
Decent. Then The Perfect Storm with Clooney.
He's got his own little feel to them.
Then Troy.
Troy, I love the opening start.
And then
some of Troy's.
And then the remake of The Poseidon Adventure.
Oof.
Just called Poseidon.
Yeah, that was bad.
That's bad.
But that's pretty decent. That's
got
good.
terrible CGI in it as well.
Wolfgang, he looks like he's going to be an absolute cuts guy, because that's a lot of absolute cuts type.
Yes, oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, all of them are going to get done at some point.
Yeah, so we're going to be a big Wolfgang Peterson guy.
Is the president's...
Is the first son? Is the first son, first kids. Family?
Called...
The first son is dead. You'd be like, what? First son sounds like a terrorist.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Here we go. What do you call the president's children? Oh, interesting.
Because the first lady doesn't have to be the wife.
No, that's what I'm reading here. So the...
Yeah.
The first... They're just called by their names.
Yeah, because Glenn Close isn't his wife in that. And
no.
She's the first lady.
No, she's not. She's the vice president.
Yeah, oh, shit, yeah.
The first lady
is the one
the
in the plane. I'm losing it, yeah.
The woman that, at the start, it looks like he's going to try and pump. He comes in and he's standing there with a beer and she comes in and they start getting off with each other.
And then one
of his advisors comes in and he's like, can you give me a goddamn minute here? I'm trying to pump my wife. So they're just called the first kids. Although, if the president doesn't have a wife... The eldest daughter becomes the first lady.
Oh, weird. Cool.
So the son gets fuck all.
Oh, okay. Right.
So I'm assuming that's where if the wife has died.
Okay,
so if
Jill
Biden dies, does Biden have a daughter?
I don't know.
I don't even know if he knows.
Who's Jill Biden? Is that the wife?
Jill Biden's his wife.
Ugh. Well then.
You sound like Jill Biden.
Yeah.
Who's Jill?
Who's Jill?
My wife.
Jill and Jilly. Jilly Bean Biden.
Right, I've got very, very quickly one note. At the start, when the guy takes over the plane, No, it's not. They're trying to avoid something, and he manages to do a maneuver with the plane the air, and it makes a skidding sound.
Does it skid? I never know.
Like,
who's this driving?
This is the Kazakhstani.
Is this the one that goes, pilot? I'm not really sure how to drive this, and then does evasive maneuvers on a missile and deploys flares? You fucking seem like you're doing all right.
That was also what I was going to Google. Do they have evasive measures on there?
Yeah. I would say it definitely has evasive measures. I'd be surprised if it didn't. there's a fact as well, when, you know, when Harrison Ford's driving it.
Yeah.
And they were like, "Well, Mr. President, we can't let land this on autopilot." And I was like, "You think the president's a fucking idiot?"
Does the Air Force One have evasive measures?
I have notes to go through as well, right? But I also have, like, my favorite part of the film. Mm-hmm. My funniest part isn't even... I was sitting there going, the second part was the thing. The funniest thing I've possibly ever seen in a movie is the guy that's been shot, do you know him? And when he's on the cable and he starts not making it, right? So when he starts not making it and coming back and he's dying, he's literally clinging onto life, and he just has this weird little sad face and his hand going, and he's going the other way. He's putting his hand forward like, this will make me go forward. And then he's slowly going back towards the terrace. Oh, fuck me. I was like howling at how much of a bad situation he's in.
The way they cross on that wire is like how seals get down a beach. Because they're like jellying their way along across. Right. Does it have... like, what defences does the presidential plane Air Force One have? It's got radar jamming.
Okay.
It's got infrared countermeasures. They
play Bob Marley so over opposition. Play Bob Marley over opposition radar. Yeah. Chairman, I can't focus.
This guy's in a Kazakhstani tower going, we can't break this code. Everything gonna be all right.
They get it wrong.
Right, they've got infrared countermeasures, which will be the flares and stuff, so they can get shot down by heat-seeking missiles. They used to be able to deploy chaff, which is bits of metal. That they can do that.
So cars behind us get.
So they have basically all the stuff that they have in that.
Yeah, I would say we definitely have like the big maneuvers.
But yeah.
I wonder how hard it is. I feel like that flare thing would just never work. I just feel like in real life, that's one of those things, if you were to talk to a pilot, they go, yeah, that's just a pure luck shot.
Yeah.
Rather than, oh, it'll work. Like, we can't fly this plane, and he just fucking dodges a heat-seeking missile.
Very, very big quick shout out to... how much I smiled when I remembered that the Air Force Base in Germany, the American Air Force Base in Germany, is called Ramstein.
Yeah. Ramstein Air Base, yeah.
Some stuff that I found annoying in it. It's the exact same plot as Die Hard 2.
Yeah.
Apart from the terrorists are in the airport.
Yeah.
In Die Hard 2.
Yeah, it is.
But they're in a plane. But it's exactly the same. The terrorists are trying to get... In that one, it's a Central American dictator that has been captured, and they're trying to get him released.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
as opposed to a Kazakhstani.
I never thought of that. Also, what a hilarious thing for this General Raddick. First of all, he's minding his own business, right? Not that I presume he's a bad guy. He's in a gulag. He's like, next thing, all of a sudden, they're like, you're being released. He's like, what? Great. Yeah. Gets up. Everyone's cheering him out. For some reason, the entire presidential suite with Glenn Close are all listening to it.
They
have the intercom.
They also start singing a song.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what song, but Gary Oldman gets a proper hard-on over it.
Listen to it. But like, Glenn Close listens to it. They're all like, they have the intercom, the gulag intercom, just feeding through to the White House. And then he gets the whole way out, then just gets it to the thing, and then they just shoot him. So he's just like, what? Everyone's to me like, fucking Raddick had a bad bit of luck there. Man, it's just...
It's like, were they planning on putting him on trial at all?
Yeah, yeah.
Because why not just blow him away when they first meet him? If it's that easy.
And they all cheered.
That diplomatically not a problem to just blow this guy away. Why wait?
Yeah, they all cheered. The whole staff shot him and went, yay. And I'm like, well, then just execute him if you had him in a gulag. Nothing made any sense there.
I love the fact that when he's getting released from what I imagine is quite a maximum security military prison. Yeah, right? So who the rest of the guys are in that are doing the fucking way? You know, when any top, it happens in like a Rise of the Foot Soldier kind of shit. Yeah. When like one of the big dogs is getting released, they're all rattling their metal cups against the bars going, way! Right? So that's happening.
Ralph
right?
Harris is getting out.
He then has to go to the desk to sign out his shit.
Like, or they give him back his uniform.
Like what? Right, one uniform, one necklace of ears, one copy of Crocodile Dundee 2 on VHS.
Necklace of ears. Oh, fuck it, Jesus Christ.
Another thing that annoys me, and this doesn't just annoy me in this film, it annoys me in every film, how Americans say Moscow.
Moscow. Yeah.
Thanks very much for your hospitality, Moscow.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah, it's Moscow.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
I mean, when you put it like that, it probably should be Moscow. Now that I'm looking at it.
but still.
Glasgow, they don't get away with.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That is definitely Glasgow.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you don't have, there is no word gow.
Yeah, yeah.
Cow. Right, I'm going to let them off.
Okay.
It annoys me how Americans say Glasgow. American listeners,
Glasgow.
It's Glasgow, not Glasgow.
Eisenberg.
But you can keep on with Moscow.
Donegal. Oh, yeah.
Donegal.
Yeah, Donegal. Oh. Gal. Like GAL. And I'm like, that's not it. The gall of you. Think about that.
Oh, yeah.
Donny fucking gall.
The other thing that annoys me is, and I don't know. I don't know if I like these bits in films or not. Right. What did we do last week? Hangover. Mm. Yeah. It's got a bit in it as well. There is always a bit in films where there is something to be solved and something completely not to do with it, right? Completely inconsequential happens, and that provides them with the clue over how to solve the problem, right? So in The Hangover, it's when they're talking about why roofies are called roofies.
Yeah, yeah.
And then why don't you call them floaties? Because that's where you end up. You don't end up in the roof. And then Ed Helms goes, what did you say? He was like, why don't you call them floaties? No, the bit about the roof. And that's where he goes, fuck, dog's on the roof, right?
Yeah.
And this one, he's like, how the hell can I get this plane to land? What can I do? What can I do? And he looks across and a bullet, the only stray bullet of the whole thing, has punctured a carton of apple juice.
Yeah.
And he sees the apple juice pissing out the bottom. And that's where he goes, but I hate the... I would be fine if the shot was just him looking at the apple juice and seeing it pissing out. Because then I'd go, all right, he's now gone... If I let fuel out of this plane, that's how we can land it. I don't need the bit where he lifts it up and then looks away and goes,
yeah, yeah.
I don't need
that moment
of realization. Because we're already 30 seconds ahead of you,
yeah,
here, Harrison.
Yeah.
Right? I don't.
You're really dumbing it down for the idiots.
If anything, you're the fucking moron here.
Yeah.
Because it's taking you this long.
Yeah. Okay. Also, by the way, do you reckon there's just someone out there sunbathing? You know? Or, you know, taking out the bins at night. Just get hit by...
Jet fuel.
Just get hit by 4 tons of jet fuel. Coming in, back into the house, drenched. Where have you been?
Were you ever told that...
Piss
and shit goes out the plane?
Yeah.
I was told that it was in trains as well. Like, I'm fairly certain... I don't know if it was at school, but I'm fairly certain it was my dad. Because already, I think most kids have the thing where... Yeah. Because it gets soaked out... With such ferocity, it's like your shit gets taken away quick. Like it's the quickest thing on earth, the way your shit gets taken away in a plane. It makes sense that there's an airlock,
it's like
and it just gets
suck it up a noodle.
Which again does. I don't know if the air pressure or something would disintegrate a shit, but some of the shits I've done, I reckon they could make land.
Oh no!
And you don't want that. Like you don't want to be. You don't want to have just painted your shed, and then one of my turds lands on the wet paint, and you're like, oh, for fuck, it's a fucking nightmare now. This.
I think it's the neighbour chucking it over.
But I'm fairly certain.
Was it the day to day that a frozen jet of piss?
I don't remember.
The day to day, yeah, Chris Morris, a frozen jet of like spike of piss like pierced a farmer, and he's like standing in a field in a big jet, like a big spike of piss and pinned him to the floor.
But that's another thing. Like, would you know how there's that, which I think is an urban myth as well, that if you were on top of the Empire State Building and you threw a penny with the velocity, it could go through someone's... That was always the thing. It goes straight through their skull.
Yeah.
Like, it would almost half them. Would that happen with a shite as well? Because a lot denser than
a
coin.
It's not denser than a coin.
A shite isn't denser than a coin.
A coin is harder than a...
Right, if I took a...
I can't just tear up a
I'm talking heaviness. Heaviness is probably...
That's not really density, though.
If I had a penny in here...
All right, yeah.
I gave you a penny in one hand, I took a shit in the other hand.
The shit's going to be heavier.
Which would you say was denser?
The coin. I think this is we're having a physics off here. I don't think that's density. What's density? Mass by...
I don't know.
It's mass by something.
I never did any of that stuff.
Yeah, so I think density is technically not really...
Right, if this comes up in a question...
Which is more denser? A coin or a shite?
A penny or a... If this will prove that you can literally find out anything on the internet. Which is denser? A penny or a shite?
Penny or a poo? Penny or a poo?
I'm only getting the density of a coin compared to other raw metals.
Yes. I think, what is density then? Just what is density? It's I think it's masked by something.
What is density?
I thought density would be like harder to penetrate the surface.
Again, you don't know my shites. The degree of compactness of a substance.
Yes.
Right? I'm still saying...
No. Shites are not harder than a
coin. I am saying there are Boxing Day mornings... where the compactness of my shite would beat that of a raw metal.
Raw metal. Oh, fuck. That's what they made the dude from Terminator 2. Your shite.
White dog shits. White don't see them anymore. They were all used in the making of the
T-1000. Wait a minute. You don't see white dog shit anymore.
No, I found out why this was. It's to do with dogs' diets.
Really?
Yeah. It's to do with something that was taken out of most mainstream dog food that would produce that whiteness. So it's nothing to do... I know it's like a proper Peter Kay. How come you don't get white dog shite anymore? You know? Remember white dog shite? Come home and your gran was sitting there with a white dog shite. Fucking hell.
It's like the goth driving a car. You never see a goth driving a car.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. It's not like that at all. That's not a thing. A goth driving a car.
You never see goths driving cars.
I never have seen one. Yeah. You're right, actually.
You've never seen a metalhead or a goth driving a car.
No, I never have, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
How do they get around, though?
Little Batmobiles. Park. Carpools.
But yeah, very quickly, I'm fairly certain my dad had convinced me that on a train toilet, the shite just hits the tracks as well. Which, when you think about it, would be disgusting. Like, if you live near a train station or even a train track.
Yeah, yeah. You down at the train tracks?
That's horrible.
Trips in your shite all in here?
Because, again, there's been some train journeys where I have...
You've just destroyed.
I've been out at a gig in Blackpool the night before.
Yeah.
And I'm getting that early train back to Glasgow. Jesus.
I'm back in Blackpool very soon.
Back in Blackpool. I'm back in Blackpool.
Yeah, you know the part where they're like, it really makes me proud. It really, really makes me proud that we're together, you know, Mr. President.
Oh, yeah.
Again, that's another Joe Biden one.
Oh, my God.
Oh, foals don't get pregnant around the... Joe, we're going to need you to... I would never take a bullet for a fucking president either. What a mad thing. I would take a bullet. I'd be more likely for an American president to take the stray bullets and then go, you can reload, take that, I've caught that, reload and shoot them again.
I don't think, because has anyone taken a bullet for a president? Like, I know, because Reagan, someone had a shot at Reagan.
You reckon Marilyn Monroe, if them vibrators were out back in the day?
Um, I don't know if anyone has ever taken a bullet for a president. I think the idea of taking a bullet for someone is much easier to say you would do in theory than in practice.
Yeah, yeah, you'd never...
I would hesitate. If someone was trying to shoot the kids,
yeah,
there would be a moment of hesitation of me. And that's not by me going, I don't want to.
Yeah, just natural.
But your natural reaction is to go...
Not die.
It's like when you try and hold your breath underwater.
Yeah, yeah.
Regardless of how much you want to do it, yeah, your body's going to go, no.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think your body would let you.
Through a glory hole. You're taking your life in your hand. That's what it
I would take a glory hole for my kids.
Do you know, like, as well, yeah, they take a bullet. I don't know, there was a comedian, I think it was Nate Bargatze or someone I have in my head about, yeah, as well, like, I'd never be able to take a bullet. I could maybe take a knife, uh-huh. You know, if he came at me at a long enough distance and all this. Like I say, by the way, I remember once my ex told me, would I take a bullet for her? Genuinely.
Really?
And I was like, aye, sure. And then she just handed me a loaded gun. Off you fucking pop then, Colin. Daft joke. No.
I was trying to find, I found an article that says...
they really shit on CNN, by the way, the fact that CNN just for absolutely unreported. The plane has crashed in Moscow.
But then also... There is not a chance that the vice president would then come out and go, no, what's actually happened is the far worse scenario where the president has actually been taken hostage and there's a good chance he's about to bargain out the release of a mass murderer.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she goes, so everyone pray for Air Force One. Like, there's not a chance of that.
Pray is the funniest thing. Yeah. We're going to need every bit of just pray because, to be honest, we've just let Kazakhstani people dress up as... fucking journalists walk into the most secure fucking...
This is... I had an article that I've been trying to wait for load up, but 10 things you didn't know about the Air Force One. Not the film, the actual plane.
You load that up. I'm going to get through some of these.
So, apparently... Normally, any plane a president flies aboard as Commander-in-Chief automatically becomes Air Force One. So, if... A president, so that would mean if a president got on an EasyJet flight to Magaluf, that would then by de facto become Air. Because they say it at the end when he gets in the bomber, they go, "Well, it looks like LR-472 has just become Air Force One."
Oh.
Yay! Thousands of people died.
Yeah. So many people.
Do what's a brutal deaths? The guys that are trying to refuel the plane. They die so unnecessarily.
Yeah. Oh, one of the fighter jets too has to do the...
Yeah.
I'm going in.
But for what, like, for what should have been a regular day for those lads?
Yeah, it's now ended, yeah.
That's when you get again, an Austin Powers thing, when, like, the, you know, when the henchman goes out for the day and he, like, has a normal, says goodbye to his wife and all that kind of shit. That would be similar. Because if you're just a refueling tanker, at no point do you think... Tell you how this day is going to end.
You've blown to pieces.
These fucking idiots that are trying to be covert are going to open up the hangar door thinking no one will notice.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to get blown to bits.
Also, what an easy thing to happen when the thing slowly catches fire and just explodes. Like, you know, the fire goes all the way up. That was fucking wild.
So. I read that wrong. I thought the sentence is, when the Secret Service refused to allow President George W. Bush to land on the deck of the carrier, the USS Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
I thought it said they'd refused to allow him to land it. I thought he'd gone in.
Okay. And gone, yeah.
I'll have a go with this.
Do you know if when he, I have a couple of notes here. What I have here is, like, you know, when he spits in his face,
mm-hmm.
You know, like, was it Harrison Ford spits in?
Yes.
It's the other way around. Who spits in?
No, Gary Oldman spits in Harrison Ford's face.
Oh, that's right. Can you imagine if Harrison Ford got an erection? And the Mueller knows that it was coming. She covers the daughter's eyes. Oh no.
Starts unbuttoning his shirt.
He's got, who's the horny guy in this then?
Oh god.
There's no horny guy, is there?
It's gotta be Harrison Ford by trying to pump.
Oh well, okay.
It's either Harrison Ford for trying to pump his wife on Air Force One when he's just changed foreign policy.
Okay,
that is
right,
probably
yeah,
going to destroy
it.
All of America's foreign policy abroad.
Yeah. Okay.
His only, the only thing on his mind at that point is the Notre Dame game. Pumping his wife.
Yeah, right. That's right.
It's either him or it's Gary Oldman for briefly considering getting off with the daughter.
Smooching at the head.
The two things.
Here's a movie thing that's in a lot of these movies. There's always one official on the ground. It's always usually a rogue general or official that gives the worst possible advice.
Yeah.
He's like, go on, just fucking sign that.
Yeah.
It'll give me power of attorney.
Well,
I'll blow them all.
I disagree. I think he's the most sensible guy in the whole thing.
Right.
So do you know who he is?
No.
Dean Stockwell.
Okay.
He's in Blue Velvet. Right. He's in a couple of films. He's best known. Did you ever watch Quantum Leap?
No.
Probably before you were watching TV and shit like that. Quantum Leap. When I was around about 12, 13, there's a TV show called Quantum Leap. It's got Scott Bakula in it.
That's what a name.
Have you never heard of Quantum Leap? It was about a time traveler, right?
I thought it was like, not like a Black Mirror Twilight Zone thing?
Very similar, aye. Okay. So it was a series where there was a guy would travel back in time and try to put right wrongs. So what he would do is he would leap into someone else's body, and then there would be a situation and he couldn't leap again until he'd fixed something for that person.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
Now, so there was like, most of them would be like, what was great about it is it dealt with a lot of like social issues that TV shows in America never dealt with at those points. Certainly popular ones. So they did a lot of stuff about civil rights. They did a lot of stuff about sexual assault, all this kind of stuff. So what he would do, like, for example,
he committed them.
He would jump into the body of, say, a black civil rights movement activist. Right?
Just so he could say the N-word.
That's all he had to do to leap. I'm sorry, Sam. You've just got to say it. Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
But what was cool about it was everyone else would see him as the person he'd leaped into.
Okay.
So, but if he looked in the mirror, he would see the person that he's leaped into back.
Okay.
And the person that he's leaped into would go into the future. And he'd sit in a waiting room.
Right? That's so funny that they sit in the waiting room.
And,
what the fuck's this dude?
So this guy was Sam. Sam Beckett was the guy that travelled. But I fucking loved this show. Honest to God, it was like my favourite show growing up. Dean Stockwell, who's the Secretary of Defence in Air Force One, he was his hologram helper. So he was in the future. So he would sit in the
waiting room.
The waiting room with the dudes or lady.
He's banging your wife around.
Right. He would be. He fucking would be as well. Like, he would appear as to Sam in the past as a hologram. And he would basically be telling him, right, here's what we found out, here's what you need to do. And they'd try and figure out what task they had to do before they could then leap. And the idea was he always wanted to leap home, but he never got to leap home in the end.
Okay.
There was like 7 series of this.
Okay.
It's a fucking amazing.
Sounds fun.
One of the episodes he leaps into Lee Harvey Oswald. The two-part episode. It's amazing. He's Lee Harvey Oswald, who was played by Gary Oldman in JFK.
No.
There you go. He leaps into Lee Harvey Oswald, and they assume that the mission is he doesn't kill JFK.
Yeah.
But then they figure out, no, that'll change history way too much and it would end up being terrible.
Yeah.
And I think what it is Lee Harvey Oswald was supposed to murder both JFK and Jackie Kennedy that day. And it was to ensure that he didn't murder Jackie instead. He jumps into Elvis in one of them. That's a class episode. He jumps into Marilyn Monroe's chauffeur driver, tries to stop her getting murdered, but she ends up dying
Just him rocking in a limousine.
jumps into Michael Jackson and one of them. He has to fuck a kid. I'm sorry, Sam. If you want to leap, you got to fuck a kid. Is it Macaulay Culkin? It's not even a famous kid.
Yeah. And you have to use the vice. What vice? He has a vice.
But yeah, I think in this film, he's the only one talking sense. Because technically, I don't know. I know a bit about the American Constitution because I studied it at uni, right? I did one of my things was American politics. But the president is not. Once you become president, you shouldn't be considered. You're a president first, then you're a father, then you're a husband.
Yeah.
Right, president first, that's it. Actual protocol, he would have been in that fucking escape pod and he wouldn't have given a shit about his... Like, if Dean Stockwell says at one point, 50 people on a plane is a lot easier to sacrifice than the 100 million people that'll end up dying because of whatever atrocities this Radek dude causes. Okay. So he's the only one, because he's trying to use constitutional law, saying, look, the president's incapacitated, and then they have an argument over what does that mean? Does he need to be medically incapacitated? Does he need to be under duress and all? So he's like, I mean, I don't think it was the right time to start going, but time I started getting some fucking signatures on this, you know, like he's WhatsApping people going, I don't know if you've heard, but if you wouldn't mind, you wouldn't mind scanning over your...
constitutional thing. Fucking but
I think
hell,
I think he's the only one that's actually doing it by the book. Now, he's not being humanitarian about it. but he's doing it by the book.
He's just doing his job.
But Harrison Ford can fuck off as well, because he very, very easily lets that woman who's the press secretary die.
Yeah.
Very easily.
He goes, oh.
Where's
the little door?
Yeah, exactly. Whereas in the minute it comes to his wife and kid, he's given up everything. He's like, I'll release any cunt. Who do you want out? Cosby? I'll release him. Oscar Pistorius? He's out. I'll fucking release anyone, man.
We're going to release. We're going to release Diddy. We haven't caught him. I don't really get what broke Gary Oldman's neck. I'm not sure exactly what broke it.
Well, it's the bit because he wraps a seatbelt around him.
Yeah. But what? And then he just but then kicks with it, it.
Because he. So he his. He's wrapped around like that. He basically hangs him.
Aye.
So he wrapped around like that and then pulls the parachute. So with the force of the parachute taking him back...
Was it just the force of the parachute?
Breaks his neck. Because he's hanging... It's a fucking brutal shot where he's hanging out the back of the plane.
It's great.
With the parachute already up. And he's...
It's funny.
I know a lot of people love that line. Get off my plane. I think it's shite.
I
think as a...
Yeah.
As a Schwarzenegger-esque death quip,
I think it's
poor.
Yeah, yeah.
There could have been better ones.
What, like?
So I was thinking about this. Right, so you're getting him, even because he's getting him off, so get off my plane seems too easy.
Toodle-doo,
motherfuckers. Even if he'd have gone... How about you hang around?
Yeah. That's great, yeah.
Or a...
Cashing checks and breaking necks. do you believe in life after love?
Oh, God. Try to think of what else.
Do
what
you know
happens when you get off a plane? You don't check out. That wouldn't work. Time for you to check out.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be if they were in a hotel.
Baggage allowance exceeded.
Yes! There you go. Yeah.
Baggage allowance. do you know the part as well when the planes come and they're like, oh, the good guys are here. It's very funny that like 90% of the Earth that we watch this would be like, no. The good guys are here. Like, yeah, they're only in America. Would you actually think that? what else do I have here? The guy kept dying was great that I've seen. Oh, yeah, you know, he's like, Liberty 2-4, do you have the president? And there's just like, nobody will answer. And I'm like, so obviously you don't. Just give me a second there, come back to me. Just going to have to give me a minute on Liberty 2-4.
What else do I have? I'm trying to think of a better line. I will have one by the end of it.
I've just written one note here, and I think it was because I was watching something else, because it just says, do you know what's hot in movies for no reason? When women have to perform surgery on themselves.
What the fuck? Who has to do that?
Have you ever seen like movies when they're like there's like a hot action figure and she's like cauterizing a wound?
All right.
You know, well, like cauterizing a wound or pulling
like a Lara Croft.
Yeah. Or a fucking, I think I was watching a film called Revenge. Have you watched
Revenge?
Oh,
who's in that?
Jesus Christ. I don't know. She's like not that. I know what you're thinking.
I know a film.
Oliver Stone one.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, no. This is some like supermodelly one out in the middle of nowhere, and her boyfriend, basically all these like guys come around and they basically they rape her and kill her. They try to kill her and they fuck her off a thing, and then she kind of wakes up and just goes on a mad rampage, but it's all in the desert.
Jesus.
It's called Revenge. It is super violent. You'd love it. I think it's fucking unbelievable. But I think that's what I was watching, because I was sitting there. She was like pulling a bullet out of her thing. She was cauterizing a wound. She was using a bit of like, you know, like a petrol can. Uh-huh. She had the metal of a petrol can and she was burning it over a fire and then just...
Oh, that is quite...
And I was like, that is sexy.
Cool. Right, that is cool.
And then I went, why is that good? Why is someone performing surgery on themselves? I'm like, whoa, nice.
What the fuck else could it be? Kazakhstan.
Kicking him off.
More like Kazakh man hanging out the plane.
Say hello to Borat.
That'd be so funny if he just before he talked to his face goes, "Yek shemesh."
This is for touching my wife. Out the I don't really know what Kazakhstan's look like now, because I've got Borat being racist about it, and then I've got Gary Oldman, the most English looking dude, and then the rest of them are...
Did I tell you I did that the night in Altitude, where I went on stage? I've never done it before in my life, and for some reason I was closing one of the Get the Late Show, and I was talking to people in the audience, and I was like, "So you two, are you guys going out?" And he went, "No," and I went, "But why not?" right, two things I want to do before we finish up, right. This has, I thought my favourite thing in a film ever was when fucking Henry Cavill reloads his arms Mission Impossible. Yeah, yeah. Right, I thought that was the coolest thing. This film, and I completely forgot about this, right? So you know how we're talking about guys taking a bullet for the president? In this, a plane takes a missile for the president.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's so fucking class.
Yeah, yeah.
They fires a missile and the guy actually throws the plane's chest up like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
It's unreal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, there's no way that in the cockpit, William H. Mason, Harrison Ford wouldn't go, "That was cool as fuck."
Yeah,
wasn't
yeah.
That was awesome. Like, I know we're a life and death here, but that was awesome. Let's all just...
Yeah, yeah.
The last thing is, so I was going to ask you what other actors you could see as president. Because Harrison Ford is pretty much a stereotypical dude you would imagine.
Well,
would be
we
a good
said
president.
Bill Pullman was always president.
Pullman's, yes.
But
good.
I don't know if Bill Pullman could do that action type figure. Mm. No, I don't think you'd do that well.
No. I think in terms of an action president, Ford's probably.
It would need to be a black president. It would need to be a black president. To be cool.
Wesley Snipes is president.
Yeah, that's what this Passenger 57's all about. good president for that.
Because you couldn't have Schwarzenegger couldn't be president because...
No, he's already in
he's
American
foreign
politics.
As well, so you couldn't have...
He's already going for... Yeah. He's already...
Bruce Willis?
No, he doesn't have president.
No, he doesn't have president. He's not presidential.
Rough and ready. Too rough and ready.
Other action stars, Mel Gibson? Nah, you can't have Mel Gibson as a
fucking cunt.
Racist.
Yeah. You're a fucking cunt. He'd back Palestine for
Michael
the very
Douglas.
Wrong reason.
Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas is a good shot.
Yeah.
He could do it.
Stallone couldn't be a president.
No. Who would vote that in? That's a man more fucked than
Biden.
Yeah, just get Biden in to do it.
The other thing was Harrison Ford's name in this is the most American presidential name ever.
What was it?
Jim Marshall.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Oh, again. Jim
Air Marshall.
Oh, my God.
Jim Marshall, yeah.
It's like, what's your name? My name's Hank Cheeseburger. Fucking yeah. This is my secretary in advance, Johnny Shotgun.
Chad, no healthcare.
Oh, right. What a great, great film.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so entertaining.
Yeah,
absolutely brilliant. Trust. Right, next week, I really chuffed when I found this, and I know you'll be fucking delighted about this.
What is this?
We are watching.
I can't even see. I'm looking at it and I can't see what
we are watching, which is technically a Christmas film, but very loosely based. We're watching In Bruges.
Hey, old classic. That's our first.
It's our first.
Martin McDonagh.
It is. So Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson. The film...
I'll have a lot to say about this. I studied Martin McDonagh in college.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Yeah. It's the film that that Inisherin Pish wishes it would be.
Fuck off. Banshees is
great. I've not even seen it.
You've not seen Banshees?
No, I'll probably watch that alongside this.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
For next
week. It's so great. Actually, it's a great one if you haven't seen... Like,
I've seen In Bruges. I've never seen Banshees.
Watching it after, because it's just funny that it's the same type, duo, yeah. And because they're brilliant together, in this, and they're brilliant in that one too.
So, watch that if you can. Any plugs for anything?
No, I'm just doing fucking goddamn gigs.
Yeah. Where are you?
Blackpool. Where am I this week? I think Glasgow. I'm in Van Winkle, and I think I'm doing the Glee, possibly.
The Glee's looking for a closer, by the way.
I know why. I think I might be doing that because people have dropped out somewhere. I was meant to be going in. I'm doing a fucking charity gig in goddamn Paisley with Liam Farley and others. That's what I'm doing. Yeah, I'm not giving money to the charity.
What's the charity?
Cancer.
It's the worst. The worst of all the charities.
I'm like, give me that. Give me that sweet dough. I'm not giving the money to it. But Ryan, it's gutted your entire family.
Yeah.
Still not.
Still not enough. I would still rather 60 quid.
Yeah, no. If it was 60 quid, I would probably.
60 quid, maybe a fucking boofy, wouldn't it be? Yeah. Too much to ask around here.
Yeah.
I'm at Monkey Barrel. I'm hosting Monkey Barrel.
Oh, nice.
This weekend. It should be fun.
I had fucking... great fun all last weekend at Monkey Ball. Yeah. All four shows were rippers.
That's quite surprising, because normally one of the Saturdays is pish.
They were all rippers, and I was doing new stuff, and I was just like, fuck it. You know, give you a good old boost. I got the videos back.
Oh, that's good. But you can't put that's the thing. When you try new stuff and it really rips, you can't put the videos out.
I'll put one out.
You're probably going to use it in Fringe. So.
I was talking to someone. I'll probably put it out now before this. But there was a fucking video of someone called. I was chatting to some woman and I was like, "What's your name?" She was like, "Bethan." I was like, "What? Like Bethany?" She was like, "No, Bethan." I was like, "Without the Y."
Yeah.
And I was like, "What's your second name?" I was like, "Smith." It's possibly the stupidest thing I've ever done on stage.
Bethan
Smith.
Yeah, no, why? But why not?
Damn it. I'm sliding, whip your cock out and windmill it.
Leave reviews if you can be arsed. And also, both our Fringe shows are on sale. If you go to Ed Fringe website, or the links will be at the bottom of the episode description. Anything else?
No, same shit. I mean, I keep... I've given up and saying when this special's coming out. I got hiccups as well.
What I love about this special is, not only will the Queen be dead, Charles will be dead by the time this fucking thing comes out.
Do you know what the worst thing is? You know what's happened? It's because I have to get all the music out of it. Mm-hmm. So I had all the music. That's fine. You can get the start and end, get the royalty-free music. But I have a whole bit where I did was like high music with under a green light. And there's music playing over it during the show. So I don't know what to do if it's the whole thing's fucked. So there's a good chance I'll take out the main pits, hope that the thing doesn't pick up the background music in for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then it's probably
There must be some way through AI you can just remove one part of an audio.
Oh, God, I reckon it'll be dreadful. It doesn't even make sense, though. The whole bit doesn't even make sense. It's half the music.
Oh, so it needs the music.
So I might have to either cut that out, and then it's going to be a 40-minute special, or else it's going to be...
it's kind of your fault. Like, at what point did you think you could release... a special on YouTube and include commercially available music?
Mark, I don't care. I mean, it's like... I didn't really think about this.
That's not...
And the Tom Stades fucking Sunday make it... You know?
But don't blame Mason for this.
I'm not blaming Mason
for this.
This
is entirely
stupid
fucking fault.
I can't believe that I've went... I'm definitely not blaming Mason for it. He actually did a good job. I'm blaming the fact that I've made so many mistakes. For the fact the pickup shot, the pickup shot day, I wore a different jumper.
Oh, for fuck's sake. It's like you can't. Nah.
That's why it's taken 2 hours. Two years.
2 years.
It's going to be like almost 2 years by the time this comes out.
Yeah. Do you know, like, other comics write and record another two specials in the time that it's taken for you to.
Not one liners.
Mm.
don't
Jimmy
exist.
Carr does.
Yeah, no, but he just uses his fucking, yeah. I did notice this, that like one-liners have pretty much got 3 hour specials, nearly all of them.
Aye.
And are just out. They're just done.
Are you going to see Yezo, Nick?
Yeah, with you.
Are you coming?
Yeah, yeah.
We were unsure whether you're coming.
Well, I said yes, so...
I sent him a ticket.
I actually asked him to support, so I'll see.
You asked him?
No, I didn't ask him. I asked Brett to fucking try and sort it.
Good luck with that. Yeah, yeah. No, that'll be rubbish.
It will be, but thought it would just to try and steal.
No, because that'll be like when they get, like...
It'll look like a bad copy.
When they get disabled kids to take penalties before, like, a cup final.
I thought
like
you were
going
to say something like disabled guys to support Lost Voice guy.
So yeah, once Ryan removes all the rights,
once I somehow think you may get the special for 8 hours before it is then removed again.
can't understand why the special's not coming out. All I've done is intercut Disney clips after every fucking punchline. I can't believe it's not coming out.
I've made such a fucking balls of it.
That's us. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Get the fuck off my podcast.
Yes.